Praise the living Jesus. Amen. We'll take our Bible reading from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start reading from verse 13. Matthew 16 from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. The past few weeks we have been talking about some things, and we started by talking about the parable of the leaven. How many people remember that? We talked about the parable of the leaven. And when we talked about the parable of the leaven, our emphasis was hypocrisy. Because the Bible says that the leaven of the Pharisees was what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy and wickedness. And then we went on to talk about temptation. And in talking about temptation, we talked about the fact that we did that in three parts. And the part one, we asked ourselves the question, what is temptation? And in the second part, we talked about the anatomy of temptation. And in the third part, we talked about how to overcome temptation. And it is interesting to me how the Lord is leading us. As a matter of fact, a few days ago, as I was meditating on what we are sharing today, everything kind of made sense to me, that God is just taking us on a journey. Amen. Today, we're talking on what I have titled, "Who Am I?" Who am I? Brother Luther? Sister Fumi, please tell co-pastor that I got it. It's okay. So today, we're talking about, who am I? Who am I? The print that you are not able to see there, this is a science project, and it's just saying how the genes and the brain and the body work together to make you, you. But friends, even though I'm a researcher, a scientist by training, but I'm here to tell you today that that is not just what makes you. Praise the Lord. There is a whole lot to our life that makes us who we are. In the sermon series, Temptation, the one thing we talked about for a little longer than everything else is the fact that at the very heart of temptation is an identity problem, an identity crisis. People want to prove to be something. They want to show everybody they can do certain things, and that is how they fall into temptation. Praise the Lord. And the question we're asking today is kind of taking us along those lines. Who am I? If identity crisis is at the heart of temptation and it causes people that don't really know who they are to fall, then that must be very important for you and I to know. It's so important that even Jesus Christ himself was asking the disciples, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he told him so many things. So some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. He said, okay, I have heard what others have said I am. But who do you say that I am? You see, Jesus was trying to make a point to them that it is very, very important for you and I to know who we are. If we don't know who we are, then we will live the wrong kind of life. Listen to me. A diplomat does not live like everybody else where they live. Why? Because a diplomat is a representative of a foreign government. So when the diplomat, the ambassador, for example, the ambassador of the United States to Nigeria, for example, you know, he's not living like an ordinary Joe in Nigeria. He's living differently. There are certain statements he may make in his bedroom, but he won't make publicly. You know why? Because he's a representative of a foreign government. Do you know that just as that ambassador is a representative of a foreign government, so are you and I if you are born again? The Bible calls us what? Ambassadors of Christ. So here on earth, you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ. So it is very important. An ambassador that doesn't know who he is will misbehave. And guess what? He'll be fired because he will have said certain things that he shouldn't have said. So today, as we begin to look at this, I want to assure you that if you don't have the right answer to the question, who am I, you will live a life of struggle and a life that is filled with challenges. It is very important for you and I as children of the Most High God to know who we are, to define or to characterize who we are. We're going to start from the book of the beginning. We'll start from the very beginning itself. In the book of Genesis, we see God creating the world as we know it today. And everything God made came from something. Amen? There was nothing that was made that didn't come from something except for light. The Bible says God said, light be, and light came. But the rest of the plants, for example, the Bible says God spoke to the earth and commanded the earth to bring forth green herbs. And they came from the earth. When it came to fish and all the water animals, the Bible, all the aquatic animals, the Bible says God spoke to the water, and out of water, all of a sudden, fishes began to swim. Whales and all of these giant fish, they began to swim. So they came from water. The first statement I want to make this morning, and I want you to write this down because it's a very important statement. Everything that comes out from a source will depend and rely on that source for sustenance. My sustenance and your sustenance depend on your source, where you came from. And your source defines who you are. We talked about this some time ago. You know, thank you very much. Yeah, I think this will work for me better. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, if you saw an electronic equipment that came from Japan, it was bad. They look at it and say, you are using Sonyo. What's wrong with you? If you can't afford to buy a proper electronic device, don't buy Sonyo. Don't buy fake. Why? Because of the source. Back then, the real source, the source of electronic equipment was Germany, the Grundigs of those days. You see, the older ones are nodding. The young people are like, what's Pastor talking about? I have some Sonyo TV and it's working fine. But back in those days, no, it wasn't like that. Sonyo was considered inferior. So the source, where it came from, determines the quality of that thing. Today, maybe Taiwan, I think Taiwan is getting better. China is it today. It's just to last for a little bit. But China is doing good promotions for themselves. Even in America, where everything we buy now, go and look at it, it's China. That's why they don't last. Buy made in America, it will last you longer. Praise the Lord. You know, so the source is very, very important. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. we're asking the question, who am I? Who am I? If I ask you, who are you? Some people will say, I'm a doctor. Well, that's your profession. That's not who you are. Now, praise the Lord. Say, who are you? He said, I'm a student at UTSA. Well, that's what you're doing right now. That is not who you are. You are much better than a student. You are much better than a doctor. You are much better than an engineer. You are much better than a veterinarian. You are much better than that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1 from 26 to 28. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, and male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon it. This is very interesting. We see God here talking about who you and I, who we really are. When it comes to the creation of man, God did it in two parts. It wasn't like the plant. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, God spoke to the earth, and the earth brought forth plants. You read further down, God spoke to the water, and the water brought out fish. Praise the Lord. But when it came to the issue of man, the Bible says God created man in his own image and after his likeness. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I am a prototype of God. I'm a prototype of God. It says when he made you, when he made me, it doesn't matter how I'm living today. How you live today is one thing, but who you really are is another. The Bible says when God created man, he created man in his own image and after his likeness. I'm going somewhere with this. The two-part process of the creation of man, I'll show you in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, and God said, let the waters. No. And God said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Friends, I learned something very, very important here. It says, first of all, he formed man out of the dust. But when he made man out of the dust, that man was lifeless. That man was what? Lifeless. When he commanded the ocean, the waters, to bring forth fish, they came out, they were living. But when it came to man, the Bible says when he formed man out of the dust, he was a statue. And then God breathed into him. The Bible says, and he became a living soul. Friends, any man that is separated from God is a living dead. And this is why you and I, because we came from the dust, is the reason we return to the dust. Because we came from the dust is the reason why our physical body depends on the earth for sustenance. We get food and all of those things from the earth. Even the meat we eat, the cattle, they get their food from where? From the earth. And convert it to protein, and then we eat the protein. Praise the Lord. You and I still depend on the earth for our physical sustenance. But for our spiritual sustenance, we need God. We need God. And Satan knew this very well. And that was why when the enemy came to attack the creation of God, he did not attack their physical body. Because he knew that was not their source. That was not the source. He attacked them spiritually. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I am a prototype of God, and so are you. But something happened. Something happened. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Satan came and tempted them. We've dealt with that, so I'm not going to go back into that. He came and tempted them, and they fell. He told them, he said, look, what are you talking about? God said, that you will not die. God is a liar. How many times has Satan or the enemy tripped you up by telling you what God said is not true? Praise the Lord. Pastor Lowe Carey was telling us this morning, he said, the Bible says, if I don't pay my tithe, I'm a robber. I said, I don't feel like a robber. You just believe the lie of the devil. Praise the Lord. Because the word of God is yea and amen. Whether I feel it or I don't feel it, it is true. It is true. This is what happened to them in the garden. The enemy convinced them that that thing that God said is a lie. It is not true. And because they fell to the temptation of the evil one, they lost their position. Why? Because the death that the scripture was talking about was not a physical death. It was a spiritual death. Because disobedience to God is disagreeing with your source. If Toyota car decides to disagree with the Toyota manufacturer, that car, it will not last long. Praise the Lord. I said, no, I want to be a Honda. So you begin to replace the... Okay, I don't want you to laugh about my story today. I used to have a car. It was originally an Audi GLS 100 GLS. But over time, the arm became the arm of the Passat. The horn became the horn of the Sump. Everything changed over time. It didn't drive quite the same anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the enemy came and tripped them up and told them a lie, and they sinned. The question is, what really is sin? You know, when we talk about, oh, you have sinned, you have committed sin, what really is sin? The Greek word that is translated sin in the New Testament, it means to miss the mark. How many people play darts? You throw darts. The center point on the dartboard is called what? Bullseye. The bullseye. So when you are throwing, if you're really good, it's a bullseye. You hit the bullseye. You hit the bullseye. And then when you go off outside, you miss the mark. That is exactly what sin is. Sin is any disobedience to God is a sin. Anything that is contrary to the will, plan, and purpose of God for your life is a sin. It might be as simple as you eating the most expensive meal in the history of mankind, the apple. Praise the Lord. Anything outside of the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. He said, to him it is sin. Amen. If I know the right thing to do and I choose not to do the right thing, the Bible says, as far as I'm concerned, it is a sin. Why? Because I know better. Sometimes people want to judge by their life by other people's life. So, Victor did it. How come I can't do that? Well, maybe Victor doesn't know better yet. But you know better. And when you do it, there is no grace to cover. That is why you will see two people, they commit. It seems like they live the same kind of life, but one person is suffering way more than the other. You know why? To him that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So this man that was created a prototype of God, a model of God, because I mean, think about it. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did God create the world? Anybody ever thought of that? Why did is he bored? The Bible says there's billions of angels worshiping him every day, the 24 elders. He has everything at his disposal. Why will he leave that realm and come here and create the earth? Why? Ever thought about that? And then he created man. And then he put us here. And it's so far away up there. Our telescope can't see past the second heaven. And the second heaven is so, it's unimaginable. Our minds cannot fathom it. Why did he create the world? God is a spirit. Oh, yeah? God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God rules in the spirit realm. God is not flesh. Who saw God this morning? Good morning, sir. Nobody saw God this morning. We know he's there, but God is not flesh like you and I. God is a spirit. God wanted to extend his authority into the physical realm, so he created a physical world and put you and I in charge to be his representative in this world. That's why. He put you and I in charge to have dominion, to subdue and have dominion over the earth. So he put us here. So the intention of God, for all intents and purposes, is for you and I to operate like him. Like he operates in heaven, he wants us to operate like that here. That is why after he made man, what did he say? Say he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. And then he said some very crucial two things to save them for the last. Number one, it says subdue. You know what it means to subdue? To put under. Sit over. And then it goes forward to say, have dominion. Take charge over it. Be the Lord. Be the God. Be my representative here on earth. That is who we really are. But who are we right now? Sin came and trumped all of that. And friends, believe me, when man was separated from God, from that time up until now, every heart, every human being, there is still a void in every heart that is seeking to be filled. So people do all kinds of things to fill that void. Some want power. Some want position. Let everybody know that, yes, I'm the biggest, hippest person here. Some want money. Some, they want to fill that void with alcohol. Some want to fill the void with sex. Some want to fill the void with drugs. The reason all of these vices have come now is because of that separation from God. Listen to me. A person does not sin. A person is not a sinner because they sin. So he's always committing sin, he's a sinner. That's not true. A sinner, somebody that you are first of all a sinner, and then you don't have any choice but to sin. The nature of God was exchanged with the Adamic nature after the fall of man. And that nature is the nature of sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fishes live in water. A fish is not a fish because it's inside water. But because a fish is a fish, it must live in water. They may sound similar, but they are very different. A sinner is not a sinner because they sin. A sinner is a sinner because he's a sinner, and then because of his sin nature, he sins. So the solution, listen to this. The reason this is important is this. The solution to sin is not, I'm going to stop that. How many people have made such resolutions? Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you just feel bad. Say, I will never ever do it again. I can't imagine. I can't believe I did that again. And you cry. You get emotional and everything. You say, I will never do that again. Guess what? You went right back to it. How many people? Don't lie. We're in the house of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your witness. I thank you that you are very truthful people. Praise the Lord. How many times have you made New Year resolution? This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a lie. You will do it. You know why? You know why? The way to change your life is not by a determination that I'm going to stop doing that. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you still have that old Adamic nature, guess what? You will sin naturally. In fact, if you don't sin, you will be like fish out of water. Because you are not in your natural environment. It is just uncomfortable. And if you have given up that old nature and you find yourself in sin, guess what? You feel like a fish out of water also. In fact, one of the ways you can test whether you are still in the Lord is if you sin and there's no problem. You are probably a sinner. Because a sinner cannot feel bad over sin. How can a sinner feel bad over sin? So someone is a professional arm robber and he goes to rob a bank and they are successful and you say he should feel bad. Feel bad about what? He's doing his job. He's doing his job. And it was a successful operation. No fingerprints, nothing. They can't trace it to them. They are enjoying life. You say, don't you have any conscience? What conscience? His conscience is the conscience of an armed robber. And he has just done it straight, and he has just succeeded. So if you are supposedly a believer that is sinning and nothing pricks you, you need to do something about that life. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we all must from time to time check ourselves to see whether we are still in the Lord. When a lifestyle of sin is comfortable for you, if it is comfortable for me, something is terribly gone missing. There's a problem. The Bible says, somebody might say, well, Pastor, if that is true, if I was born with the nature of sin, and because I was born with the nature of sin, I sin, how then is that my problem? That's how I was born. You see, the lawyer laughed because he knew the legal argument for that. Praise the Lord. Because if that is the way I am born, amen, can you prosecute a fish for living in water? No, that's his nature. Can you prosecute a lion for killing a prey? No, that's his nature. So somebody might say, so in that case, if I was born with this nature, then why is that a problem? You know why it's a problem? I told us about free will in one of those times that we talked about temptation. That a free will can never be free will if there is no option. You must have a choice to be able to exercise free will. If all the seats in the sanctuary are filled and there's just one seat vacant and you walk in, you don't have free will. You know, at least if you want to sit down on a chair, you can't exercise any free will. You just sit on the only chair that is available. But right now there's, you know, empty chairs, which is a reminder for us to invite people and bring them to church. I praise the Lord. So somebody walks in, the usher says, sit here. I say, no, I'm going to exercise my free will. I will sit over here. Why? Because there are options. So now what God has done is when man fell and took on that nature of sin, God sent his only begotten son. He became a propitiation. A propitiation is a replacement, an appeasement, a substitute for my sin. So now that leaves me with a choice. Now I have free will. I can choose. If I choose Jesus, then I am not subject to that life. At least not anymore. I am free. I am free. Jesus, the Bible tells us, took on our sin. The Bible says, cursed is any man that hangs on the cross. And that was exactly what he did. So he took all our sins and our curses. He took them upon himself and he hung on the cross. And he offered his life for you and I. He died so that you can live. He became sin so that I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he gave up himself. The Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin for all, so that our sin nature can be given up and we can receive the nature of Christ, the righteous nature of Christ. Friends, there's no amount of alcohol, drugs, women, men that we may put in our lives that will ever take the place of God in our lives. A perfect example for us in Scripture is the richest, wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. The Bible tells us that Solomon had 700 wives. That's what I said. Hey! 700 wives. I have one wife. I have one wife, and I'm still trusting God for grace. But this man had 700 wives. And guess what? Even the 700 could not satisfy him. He had to have 300 women on the side. One guy. And there were no Viagras in those days. But guess what? If riches and women could satisfy, Solomon would have been satisfied. At the end of the life of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8, he said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity." Is it fame? Is it money? Is it riches? Whatever it is, it's going to fade. It's going to fade. I love the song the choir sang during the offering. So what a day of rejoicing it will be when we all get to heaven. I pray I see you there in the name of Jesus. I pray that you make it there in the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, Romans 7 and 15. He said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." That's King James English. Let me read it to you in common English version of the Bible. It says, "In fact," listen to this, "in fact, I don't understand why I act the way I do. I don't do what I know is right. I do the things I hate." How many people can identify with that? Praise the Lord. He said, "The things I really want to do, the right things, the things that I know are right." How many people know it's good to pray? How many people do pray? Fewer hands. Amen. He said, "The things that I know are right for me to do, I don't do. The things I know it, and I hate to do them. Those are the things that I do." He said, that tells me one thing. He says, there's a nature inside of me that is contrary to the nature of God. Friends, believe me, I have prayed for you. And I know that today, God will make a difference in somebody's life. We need to seek the face of the Lord for a change, so that we stop living day after day like God is insignificant. To many, it's like God is irrelevant. Church is a place we gather just to get our Sunday religious dose. And then on Monday, we go back to the real life. If this is not real to you, there's a big problem. Who am I? Who am I? And the way I want to say this in the next few minutes is, who am I potentially? Who can I be? Who am I ordained to be? I'll give you 5 points and then we'll close. Number one, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. Potentially, I'm a new creature. One that never existed before. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. So, follow the thought pattern. So, in the beginning, God created me to be his prototype. But when Satan came, I became an ugly mess. Amen? In fact, that was why God came down and destroyed the earth by flood. Because when God was looking down from heaven, he knew these were the creatures that he made, but they didn't look and walk and talk like him anymore. He said, these are monsters. I pray that when God looks down from heaven and is looking at you, he's not seeing a monster. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because they had the image and the likeness of God, but their lives did not match up. God said, these are monsters. No, I didn't make this mess. I'm going to wipe them out, and then I'm going to start this process all over again. The same thing in Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. God looked down from heaven. He's like, no, I didn't make this mess. An enemy has done this thing. Let's go wipe that place out, and let's start it all over again. Number one thing that you must know that you can be potentially is a new creature. A new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Number two, very quickly. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, God has made the necessary plans and arrangements for us. Let me ask you this. How many of us would die for a good man? Today, you say, he's my very good friend. Instead of killing him, just kill me. That's what I thought. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's exactly what I... Listen. Jesus, while we were yet in sin, while we were ugly and nasty, he died. So he didn't die for a good man, he died for terrible men, like you and I. Well, at least myself, I don't know if you qualify. I know some of us were born again. So number one is, I am potentially a new creature. I'm potentially the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Number three, I am potentially a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed in his name. I'm a son of God. And so are you. If you believe and you receive the plan of God for your life. Number four, there are 5 points I want to say quickly there, and then we'll move on. Number four, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, God is saying, you are not like everything and everyone else. You are chosen. Do you know what it means to be chosen? It means there's many things that are put together and then you pick one in particular. God is saying that you are supposed to be, I am supposed to be a chosen vessel, a royal priesthood. Have you ever seen royalty? A young lady that came to help us out with the food distribution yesterday, she's from Seychelles. Seychelles. Thank you. Seychelles. Pastor Ladeton is the one that was confusing me about that. I said it right when I was talking, he said, no, he's sick. And I said, he's Seychelles. Anyway, this lady is from Seychelles. So she was telling me, she said, Seychelles is a resort. She said, it's not, but it's not like every other resort. He said, it's for, you know, the upper class, you know, rich people, you know, like royalties. He said, that was where Prince William went to have his honeymoon. I'm letting the cat out of the bag now. I said, I will take my own queen to Seychelles too. How about that? I'm royalty. I'm chosen. I'm not like the rest of them. I'm chosen. I am handpicked by God. A royal priesthood. That's who you are. That's who I am. And we need to walk tall and walk, take pride in God. Say, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are wholly set apart for righteous use. I'm not set apart for nonsensical use. You know, some guy is trying to touch you in a funny way, you slap him. I was reading something on the internet. He said the problem with two-faced people is you don't know which face to slap first. Should I slap this face or that face? Because they are two-faced. You know, somebody is trying to mess with you. You put them in their place. I'm a holy vessel unto the Lord. You don't mess with me like that. You can't touch me inappropriately. I belong to God. A holy nation. A peculiar people. You know what it means to be peculiar? Special. Amen? Peculiar. It doesn't look like everything else. This is special. Unique. Uniquely different. I'm peculiar. Someone say, I'm peculiar. You need to know who you are. A lot of us do not know who we are. That is why the devil can walk all over us. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't mess with that. He said, how about a taste of this? Just a taste. It won't kill you. It won't kill me. I know. But it's going to mess up my nature. I remember at my wedding reception, number one, they didn't even give us food. My wife and I, everybody was busy eating, you know. I'm like, what's wrong with these people? We were on the high. They put us alone on the high table, just herself and myself. We were sitting together. We're enjoying the conversation between each other. But after a while, I'm like, all these people are eating. And then when they managed to bring us a drink, it was something with alcohol in it. And I was so thirsty, I didn't realize it. I just grabbed the cup. I one gulp. Immediately, I gulped it. I said, babe, a foreign body has entered my body. Because my body began being, in a matter of couple of minutes, I started sweating. You know, I'm feeling dizzy. I'm like, something. So she, you know, ladies, she just... I gulped it. She said, I think there's alcohol in that thing. I said, really? She said, that must be the foreign body. You know, if you know who you are, there are some things that are just, you don't fight them, you don't debate them. It's just unacceptable. It can't happen around you. Praise the Lord. I need to wrap it up now. And finally, Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. And I'm reading from the ESV. English Standard Version. It said, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rise to your feet. It says, our citizenship, many people are doing all kinds of things to get American citizenship. We were talking to some people yesterday. And some of the stories we had were just pathetic stories. He said, our citizenship, sir, is of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That is why I am bold to declare to anyone that I'm not a Nigerian. Neither am I an American. I'm a heavenian. I came from heaven. You came from heaven. You must return to heaven. You cannot end the journey here. The Bible says, if our journey ends here, we are of all men most miserable. Close your eyes, lift up your hands to heaven, and say, Father, help me in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. It says, our citizenship is in heaven.
Our citizenship is in heaven. Who am I? Who am I? I am from heaven. I am from heaven. God is my source. God is my source. My breath emanates from God. I came from heaven. I must return to my Father in heaven. Pray, 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 brethren. Pray, pray, pray in the name of Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am chosen by God. I'm a royal priesthood. I am peculiar. I am holy. I am called of God. That's who I am. That's who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Friends, please, every head bowed, every eye closed, please listen to me. We're going to close in a few minutes now. But I would not have done right if I don't tell you this. Everything I've just said is what you can potentially be. If you are still battling with sin of up today, down tomorrow, or you are actually cruising in sin and nothing pricks you any longer, friends, you need to change that nature. You need Jesus. And peradventure, perhaps you have never surrendered to Christ. Today will be a good day to start that journey. And I am confident that today, September 22nd, 2013, will be a day you will remember for the rest of your life. The day the Lord met with you. The day the Lord changed you. You say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to start this journey. I'm tired of the old. I want something new. I want something different. I want something peculiar. I want a part of this royal priesthood. Will you wave your hand to heaven? Just wave. You want it? You say, I want it. I want that. I want what you have talked about. I want it. Just wave. Wave to the Lord. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Hallelujah. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. And God sees those hands too. We have to close now. But please come talk to me after service in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have preached your word. We have given the message as you have given it to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, do what you alone can do. In the name of Jesus, that it transform us. Lord, enough of half-stepping. Enough of kind of looking like God, but not really like God. Enough of kind of walking like God, but not really walking like God. Enough of kind of speaking like God, but not really speaking like God. Enough of two-faced life. Having one public life and having a second private life. Lord, let your light shine in every life. Let your glory be seen in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. I give you praise and I give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Father, we thank you for the service today. We return all glory, all honor unto you. Blessed be your name forever. We love you, Jehovah. We appreciate you, mighty God. Be thou exalted. Forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's share the grace together and fellowship.